So last week, a quick update. Me and Pastor Andy were in New York. When did we get back? Monday just gone. My head's a bit all over the show still. Just the most incredible time of seeing God move, and just so grateful for like the impact that our senior leader has, not just here, but everywhere. You know, and I'd be encouraged that we turned up in New York and there was an atmosphere shift. There was an incredible atmosphere shift. And just seeing an impartation of what was on Pastor Annie being inputted into leaders over there, and just a real, real incredible change in atmosphere, which I was just very, very blessed, and had the opportunity to share in like kind of a supernatural service, they would call it, downstairs. And we just saw God move upstairs, downstairs, all around. God was moving everywhere. And it was just an incredible time. So give God glory for that. That's an incredible time that we had away there. But also, I just want to say, with Pastors Andy and Pastors Gina, just keep them in your prayers. Remember, I know they've reminded you continually with the soul winner journey and the faith journey that they're on. Let's keep like just lifting them up in prayer. Keep believing for an incredible thing next. And I just got to say as well, with Breakfast of Champions, I keep hearing people like coming to me each morning. I was doing this and then I opened up Breakfast of Champions and I'm like, wow. So like, let's just keep like sharing that, because Breakfast of Champions seems to really be serving something fresh in people's lives, that it's impacting people. So let's just be on board with everything that we're hearing them do. Amen. Is that okay? Cool. So brilliant. So yeah, so we're going to kind of, this is we named this Carol Service. Next week, we've got our big Christmas service. I'm going to say this again. Remember, there's no church in the morning. If you turn up early, you're serving, all right? You're going to get on board. We're going to get you in it. But there's no, so that we're going to be coming at 2 o'clock, 2 till 3, there's going to be like kind of hanging out. There's going to be crafts. 3 o'clock till 4:30 is the service. 4:30 till 6:30, we've got inflatables in the other room. Adults inflatables, kids inflatables. It's just going to, anyone enjoy inflatables? Come on, who enjoys inflatables? Yeah, come on, I will get you excited about inflatables, trust me. It's going to be fun, but listen, it's a time to bless our community and like kind of just see them have fun, amen? So let's be all in on that for next week. So this week, I didn't want to kind of move away from the faith thing, because there's something on this faith word that Pastors Andy and Gina have been sharing. And how incredible was Pastor Gina last week? Come on, let's put our hands together for Pastor Gina. Just those stories and just a word of faith that brings courage to our hearts that we need. And I kind of don't want to move away really from that. And I was just praying and asking God, well, what do we do? Do we just head in towards that? And I thought, no, I'm gonna lean into the faith thing and continue in that. But also leaning into the lead up to Christmas. Obviously, Christmas is coming, and there's this moment where we're anticipating as kids. I know what they're anticipating, presents. Oh, it's Christmas. Kids start getting excited, all this kind of stuff starts happening. But I just want to talk about this simple message, the faith to wait. Amen? Faith to wait. There's a great feeling when something you've been waiting for is getting close. Anyone experienced that? Like it's a holiday or something that you get all excited, and it's coming. It's just a really, really good feeling. But the feeling of not knowing when something will be is really hard. Anyone experienced that? When you're kind of waiting on something, but you're like, but when? It's like looking into the fog. Like, where is it? What's it going to be? How is it going to be? And your mind is playing all kinds of thoughts through your head. It's easy when you know when it is. It's hard when it's not. And so that's why we need to have faith to wait. Amen? Just this week, even actually when we was in America, I got a message through to say, Paula, the car had broken down and it was irreplaceable and stuff. And I'm like, it'll be all right. Like we'll get around that. And we're just trusting God with that. You know, like God is good, but it means I've got a bus pass. Come on. Anyone else got a bus pass? Come on. Which is great. I'm loving it, to be honest with you. Except for when you got to wait for a bus and you're not sure what's going on. So basically this week, and it just reminded me again how God speaks, and you kind of tune into him because he speaks everywhere you go. I was looking at the time and it wasn't changing. You know when it says like bus will be 4 minutes, and I'm like, okay. 5 minutes have passed and it still said 4 minutes. And I'm like, what's going on with this bus thing here? I'm like, and my head is getting annoyed and frustrated. And I'm like, again, it was like the goodness of God just like leaning into this message about showing you that sometimes it's annoying when you don't know, and it's easy to kind of love something when you know when it's coming, but are you still kind of believing when it isn't? Thankfully, the bus did turn up, but I just love the way God speaks in the everyday situations, amen. If we're not tuned in, you'll miss it. Like when Pastor Gina shared about that tree. You know, if you're not visual enough to see something, you'll miss it. The note. If you're not inquisitive enough to dare to think, is that you, God? You'll miss it. And I don't want to miss a thing. So my ears are always open to what he wants to say, amen. Even when we came back from America, my heart was like, God, what's now? You know, and all my head was like, you know, me. I'm all over the show. I'm like, God, well, what should we do next? Like, and I was bouncing all over the place. And I opened something upstairs in my loft and a little note fell out. And it said this, and I have no idea where it's from. It's like a little tiny square piece of paper. And it just says, Dad's word will keep you grounded and my love will cause you to fly. And I thought, all right, God, that's a beautiful little thing. I'll take that and put that right. And I've put it in my wallet because it's something that if we're not careful, we'll just miss stuff like that. But God's speaking everywhere we go. Amen. Amen. And so listen, I want to talk about faith to wait today. The waiting is where it's about. It's easy to get somewhere, but how are you on the journey? And I'm reminded of a couple of characters in Luke 2. Bear in mind, this is the lead up to Christmas where we're in right now. And this is a moment where a couple of people have been waiting for this promise. The first one, his name is Simeon. And I'm going to read from Luke 2, 25, actually through to 31. And it says this. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit in the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. I mean, so easy to read over these kind of bits when you're reading the Gentiles, but this is an incredible moment where a man has been waiting for the promise, not giving up, found in the temple, believing a word that God had said. And it's clear that he's in his elderly age because it says, now I can depart in peace. He'd been waiting his whole life for this moment and hadn't given up by faith. So that's the first one, and we're going to look at this in a minute, but it's Simeon. And then the very next bit, it reads in verse 36, and it says there was another lady there as well. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin. And then as a widow until she was 84, she did not depart from the temple, worshipping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up that very hour, she began to give thanks to God to speak of him who all were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. Isn't this amazing? Both of these characters were elderly. They weren't young. They weren't like, oh, I just got the promise the other week and I'm just trusting God for this. Oh, I haven't seen it yet. No, they were aged. 84 years old. Let's do the figures here quickly. She was a young married girl. Husband lived 7 years. She probably was around 25 at the most when he died. 84, nearly 60 years she had been pressing in the temple, believing on a promise that God had given her. Isn't that a long time to be waiting for something? It requires faith to wait that long. Amen? The last time God actually spoke to the nations through the prophet was through the prophet Malachi. And I'm going to read this in a minute because it's interesting. Because what you may or may not know, in the Bible, you have the Old Testament, you have the New Testament. You have the very last book of the Bible in the Old Testament is Malachi. The very next in the new is Matthew. And between that period of time is just a page in our Bible, but it's known as 400 silent years. 400 years where there was just nothing. There was no word spoken to the nation of Israel. There was just this hanging on from what Malachi said. And here you have this couple born in that period of time, holding on to a promise that was actually spoken hundreds of years before. And this is what it says in Malachi 3:1. Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. And the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, said the Lord of hosts. You know, when I say someone's coming, I'm like, they're just about to come. I don't mean in 400 years, right? It's funny how God works. God's "they're just coming" is not "our just coming." You know, my wife says, "I'm just coming, Sean. I'll just be there." That feels like 400 years sometimes. Love you, Paula. She's watching online. But it is, and I'd probably do the same thing, but come on, I'm sure there's many men that agree with me on that. Like, you know what it's like. You know, that feels like 400 years, that period. But actually what God had said was that he's coming, but nothing else. They hadn't seen anything, and he will come to his temple. Where were Simeon and Anna found? In his temple, holding on to a promise of God written hundreds of years before, waiting for this promise to come through by faith. And they were waiting by faith, and they took hold of the promise by faith. Can you imagine? They actually physically took hold of that promise, saying he's here. The word of God is here. The promise of Malachi, the promise of God that the Savior of Israel is here in our hands. That must have been a joyous moment. That actually, finally, the one who came to redeem my people is actually here. But can I encourage you, church? It takes faith. Faith to be able to wait and hold on to a promise of God. There was a very, very long time between when God spoke and when the promise arrived. And actually, God doesn't work within our time frame. And he doesn't work within the way we want him to work. We can't tell God how it's going to be. Anyone ever tried that? Anyone been successful with that? I know I haven't. I have to submit and surrender. And in doing that, I trust by faith. You know, Pastor Andy shared incredible on Joseph, on Abraham, all these classrooms of faith we've been learning. Can I just say, go back and listen to this stuff. This is gold. This is gold on how to live by faith in our world today. Abraham's journey was no different, was it? When you look at his journey, you know, it's a few pages, it's easy to read through, but you're turning sometimes hundreds of years, just, you know, when you're reading Genesis to Exodus, there's so much going on. And one of the promises that he gave Abraham, without going into the details of it, because we've looked at all of this before, but he was told that you will inherit the land, wasn't he? The land of Canaan, you will inherit this land. And then he was promised that your offspring will go into a time of 400 years of slavery. I mean, like, what is it, God? Is it the inherit the land, or is it we're going into 400 years of slavery? But in all of it, God's promise was being formed. And Joseph was mixed into all of this as well. But from the time God was promised something, like Abraham was promised something, to the time the children of Israel came out of that time of oppression in Egypt was like 664 years. Don't tell me anyone can rush God. None of us are rushing God. It's God's time. We just have to submit, amen? And I pray that any of the promises he's given me are not 664 years or 400 years, please, Lord. Because that means I ain't seen him in my lifetime. Like Abraham, truly never saw that promise in his lifetime. He trusted that it was an eternal promise, that something would be reached out beyond his physical touch, that something would go down the lineage. And by faith, he allowed God to do what he could do. Amen. One of the other promises that Abraham experienced when you read the book of Genesis is we see this incredible name change, don't we? For those that, you know, listen to Pastor Andy share, he went from Abram to Abraham. He went from father exalted to father of many nations. In his elderly age, he received a promise that made no sense. Why? Because sometimes faith doesn't make sense. Trusting God doesn't make sense. But here he is in this elderly age receiving this promise that he will be the father of many nations. Not many people, many nations. And you know what? That promise still isn't fully fulfilled. Why? Because people being born into Christ's kingdom are part of that promise. Isn't that incredible? That actually a promise that he promised Abraham thousands of years ago is still being outworked on the earth today. Father of many nations. Right now, do you know that Abraham, I know that song, I'm not going to sing it. Father Abraham, amen. He said, no, I'm not. But listen, we are a part of the family of Abraham. We've been born into the lineage of Jesus. We have been made heirs with him. Therefore, we are the promise of Abraham. Everything that he promised him, we are now sat. Isn't that incredible? So don't tell me God needs to rush things. God does things in his time. Faith to wait. Come on, I really want to encourage and inspire today that actually you won't be rushed in your journey, but you'll trust that actually if God has said it, he'll do it. You know, Abraham wasn't panicked with it. He just learned to trust what God had said. And in fact, was accredited to him as righteousness, and he journeyed with that, amen? And there's many scriptures we could look at, and for the sake of time, I'm not going to go through all those scriptures today regarding the promises of Abraham and those things, but there is something about waiting on God where God likes to take us on a journey. See, God's not always interested in destinations. He loves the journey, because on the journey, he wants to do something to us, in us, through us. When you think of the children of Israel and you think of the journey that they went through from captivity through to the promised land, that should have been a short time, but it was a long, long period of time. Why? Because God wanted to get Egypt out of the people's hearts so that they could inherit the new thing with a new understanding. But sometimes God won't rush something for our sake. He'll take his time for our sake because he knows the greater our heart is, the more he's worked on that, the greater the inheritance will be when we walk into the newness of it, amen? The journey is important to God. We just care about destinations, right? I want it now. Anyone else like that? I want it now. It's like kids are like, I want it now. I can't wait, I can't wait, I can't wait. But God's like, be still and know that I'm God. If I've promised it, just wait on me, amen? But we got to learn to sit with our hearts trusting God. I think of just two characters really quickly before we look at some practical things around this. When you look at Joseph, Pastor Annie shared on this, so I won't go into massive detail, but there was a long period of time between that dream and the outworking of that dream. And it wasn't just a waiting, there was an oppression with it as well. There was a hardship with it. He didn't give up. Why? Because faith waits, even when it's hard. Faith keeps trusting, even when nothing externally looks right. Because if he said it, he'll do it. Amen. What about little David? Anointed king at this young age and then told to go back to the sheepfold. That would confuse most of us. I want it now. You said I was king. I want it now. Stamping our feet. But he went back and was diligent with what he had to do. And it was years later, through turmoil, through fighting, through lots of stuff going on, that God exalted him to king. But the anointing and the promise was there many, many, many years ago. Listen, God's promised stuff over your life. Amen? And if you haven't seen it, it doesn't mean he's let go of it. It just means there's a time in which we stand in that promise by faith. And then we'll see it outworked in our life. Amen? So listen, no matter what you're looking at today, whether there's a sickness upon your life, if you've got a promise from God, he is able. And sometimes there's just this moment of waiting and then the promise comes and then the fulfillment of that promise is upon your life, amen? So what is faith? Faith is a walk, right? Faith is a walk. It's not just a kind of puffy thing of like, oh yeah, I think just an imagination. It's a walk. It's this outworking in our life. It's a walk by not the physical things, but the supernatural things. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith and not by sight. Which means that everything you're seeing naturally, if it's not lining up with the promise of God, well, that's okay. Because if he's promised it, we walk by the promise and not by what we see. Amen? And a lot of this I'm just repeating from the previous weeks because there's something I want you to get hold of this as we enter into a new year. Faith is how we should be walking. Not by sight, amen? I was watching, in fact, talk about how God speaks. Anyone like the film Elf? Oh, guys, come on. Yes, right, I love Elf, Elf's great. Forgive me, I'm not preaching gospel now, I'm preaching Elf. But like God will speak to me even through movies because if your ears are open to things, then you'll hear. But there's this moment where little Michael comes at the right at the end with this book. And come on, we know it's all kind of, you know, I'm not going to say it because kids in it, but you know. He takes this book and he opens it up and there's some, the kids' things are all in there, like what he's saying. And the sleigh starts to lift off. And he says, that's Christmas spirit because of the belief. And then Michael says, I need to take this, the cameras and the book to show everyone so that everyone can see you and then we can get it flying. And he says, that's not how Christmas spirit works. It's not on seeing, it's on believing. And I thought, wow, God, you're so good. Because it's that scripture. That, you know, true faith doesn't come because we've seen it. True faith comes because we believe it in our heart, even if we haven't seen it. This is what Jesus said, blessed are those that believe even if they haven't seen. That's us today. You know, we weren't privileged enough to walk 2,000 years ago to see him face to face. But yet we still believed. So you're blessed this morning. Amen. That's a promise in itself. If you ever think you're not blessed, say, no, I am because I believe. Therefore, I'm blessed. But there's something incredible about that. And just that whole not wanting to believe on something just because we've seen it. The crowds did that. You think of the crowds that followed Jesus. None of them truly always followed him because they were seeing it, but that didn't create belief. That just created a show. Oh, this is great. He's healing someone else. Whee, get him down. Like the disciples, they journeyed. They walked with him. They watched him, he, in his humaneness and his godliness. They walked with him in a journey of just seeing things up and down and all over the show. We need to be people that walk in that kind of way. Not by looking at what we're seeing, but by faith. Amen. It goes on to the next thing of what faith is. It's a relationship. It's a journey with God. Abraham had that same journey, like I said. It was accredited to him as righteousness as he believed, and he was called a friend of God. Anyone want to be called a friend of God? Well, you are today. Why? Because you believe. So in the same way he journeyed with Abraham, he wants to journey with us individually. And I don't know about you, but that's exciting to me. I want that journey. Because that's what faith is. It's a journey. It's not a get in. It's a moment where we are able to walk and journey with God. And sometimes, can I tell you something? It's scary. Sometimes it looks like what's ahead. I don't know what's out there. But as long as you've got the hand of God in your hand, he'll lead you in safety. Sometimes you'll be blind towards what you can see in front, but it's about trusting him. Amen. I don't know about you. Does anyone want that kind of way of life? I know I do, church. I want us to be a people of faith that journey with God, not trusting in the things that are around us, not trusting in the physical things and the things that we've put our time and energy to. All of that stuff is meaningless. What's truly meaningful is the journey we're going on with God and where he's taking us. Do you know what faith isn't? It isn't instant. I don't know about you, but like when I was younger, they brought out microwave roast dinners. They ain't good. Anyone like them? Not good. I was about to rebuke. Joking. There's something about a microwave roast dinner that, you know, it's instant, it's quick, but it just ain't quite the same thing as someone who has prepared lovingly a big roast dinner and has gone the whole way of making everything and all of the trimmings and everything really, really well. See, God doesn't want to give you instant, something just rushed. There you go, have it. He loves you too much to do that. He wants to give you the full package with every trimming, amen? So sometimes we've got to trust that actually, if we rush, we'll create Ishmael. Yeah? If we rush, we'll create Ishmael. But if we trust, we'll have Isaac. So our rushing state will get us what we thought we needed, but it will bring bondage to people around us and to us. And it will look like we have it, but we'll be blaming God. Why has this happened? You rushed something God hadn't asked you to do. So we sit, we trust, and we believe in what God has said. Faith is a walk, it's a relationship, it's a journey. And so you can't have it your way. We have to walk in the ways of God. Amen? And it isn't instant. It isn't a moment where we can just have it straight away. So simply, just to finish, just to encourage us with three things really quickly I'm going to share, and then we're going to pray. What we do when we're in the middle of a faith journey, the first thing I think is really important is we need to keep our eyes on Jesus. Our focus cannot be on the things around us. It has to be on him. When we're walking in a faith journey, don't be looking at the things that are natural because they're not going to produce faith in you. You've got to be looking to the one who your faith is in. Amen. And he is the author and the finisher of our faith. So our eyes have to be on the one who's at the start and at the end. So I think of the scripture in Matthew 14, 28 to 33. And it will come on the screen. I'm not going to read it. I'm going to read a bit of it. But it says in verse 30, Jesus has walked across the water. There's this incredible moment where Peter's seen him. And he said, come. So Peter gets out of this boat and starts to walk on the water. And it says this in verse 30. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. And Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took him, saying to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? See, the foundation of our faith is not on natural substances. Peter walked on water. That's not normal. But faith will cause you to walk on supernatural foundations. It will cause you to not be bound by what's happened physically. You'll see things supernaturally in your life when you believe by faith. And you'll sit there going, how has this even happened? Like Peter walking on water. How on earth does that even happen? Well, you can't measure it and you can't work it out. But the answer's faith. By a word of God, you step out and trust, but you never take your eyes off of Jesus. Because the minute you get consumed with what's happening here, you start to sink. That's exactly what happened to Peter. He became afraid of the wind, and rather than keeping his focus on Christ, who was the author and the finisher, he became sunken in the waves and the chaos of what was going on. We've got to make sure that we don't trust in the seen. Don't put our faith in what we see, but what we don't see. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says that. It says that the things that we see are transient, temporal. Everything around us is temporal. Everything in creation is temporal. But the things unseen, they're eternal. So if the things unseen are eternal, that's where I want to put my faith. In things unseen, where God is in an eternal state, amen? Faith reaches beyond this natural place into the supernatural, into the unseen. But it requires us to keep our eyes and our focus on Jesus. That's the first thing we have to do. It's a really simple, practical thing. If you're going to walk by faith, keep your focus on him. The second thing, hold on to the promises of God. Pastor Andy said this, Pastor Gina said this. It's so important that when we're walking by faith, we have a promise from God. You know, Hebrews 10 says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. He who promised is faithful. He who promised is faithful. So therefore, if he's promised you something, he is not going to let you down. He is not going to let you down. And actually, do you know what? For the time's sake, I won't read it out. But you say, well, I don't know the promises of God. And I'm not going to give you this because I think that's easy. I think you need to go and dig for yourself. You need to go and search for yourself because faith shouldn't be easy. It should be a journey where you press it in. But I have there's so many promises of God that you can grab. But if you don't know them, you're like a man going or a woman going to war without a weapon. You just stood. I don't know. I don't know what God says about my sickness. I don't know what God's saying about my provision or my future. I don't know what God says about my calling. I don't know. And the enemy loves it because he's got you cornered. You're like you've been given all things, but you haven't decided to understand what they are. Faith can't move without the promise of God who's been, you know, given you. You just can't move with that. We need to stand on the promises of God in order to walk by faith, amen? If I know I'm healed by his stripes, then I need to declare that with my mouth as a promise that God has given us and walk in it. But if I don't know that, it isn't going to end well. See, we have this universal will of God. You know, God is God's will for all men to be saved, all people to be saved. We know that. But you know there is a specific will over your life as well? That he's speaking specific promises for you and your family, for your children, for your parents if they're not saved, for your friends. You know, God's got promises that he wants to give you so you can stand on them by faith and see miracles break out everywhere you go. Come on, we need to be giving God time so we can understand what these promises are, amen? And hold on to the promises of God, even when it's hard. And the third thing, and I think this is the funniest thing that I think a walk by faith is be okay with the unusual. There's going to be some weird things happen on the journey of faith, and you're going to be like, what is going on now? What is breaking out here now? And that's okay. Don't be worried when all things start to go chaotic. And I'm reminded of that incredible moment in Mark 4. I think it's 35 to 41, where the disciples, and you've heard me preach on this before, but this is a faith moment, where the disciples are having the most incredible time with Jesus. He's teaching the people, and there's this amazing moment where it's like conference time. And then he says, get in the boat, we're gonna go to the other side. And I'm sure in their heads, they're not thinking anything bad's gonna happen. They're just thinking, come on, Jesus, this is great. What are we gonna do next? And Jesus goes to sleep. Why? Because he's the peace of God. He is living peace. He's resting. But a storm breaks out and they are frantically panicking. We're gonna die, we're gonna die. And you can read about this. And they woke him, it says, they woke him up. You can read this in Mark 4:38. It says, he was in the stern asleep on the cushion and they woke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we're perishing? Can you imagine saying that to God? Don't you care? Don't you care that we're perishing? And he awoke and rebuked the wind and sea and said, peace be still. And the wind ceased and there was great calm. See, the journey of faith will not always make sense. That's just one of very many moments when people have walked with God and unusual things have happened. And the amazing thing is with this, they get to the other side and a man with a legion of demons inside of him is delivered. Work that one out as well. We need to be okay with unusual things breaking out in our lives. Sometimes you're going to be on a journey with God when it feels great. Oh, this is the best day ever. God, me and you, you know, singing worship songs. Hallelujah, yes. And then there's going to be a storm breakout. Someone's going to get sick. This is going to happen. Your car's going to break. Your house is going to leak. Your roof's going to break. And then you're going to go, what's going on, God? Be okay with the unusual. Don't be overcome by that. Speak God's promises over the situation. Why? Because he wants to take you to the other side. Don't jump out of the boat when everything gets unusual because you'll drown in the storm. Come on, that's a word for someone today. Don't jump out of the boat when things get strange. You will drown in the storm when God wanted to take you to the other side to deliver something. That's a word for someone, I believe, prophetically today, that you're on the edge of something today and faith has become confusing and you're overwhelmed with everything around you and you feel like quitting. Stay in the boat, trust him, and he'll bring you to the other side. Come on, there's a deliverance about to break out in someone's life where you couldn't believe it was about to happen and it's about to break like that. When you're in a storm, I understand it's not fun. But when you get to the other side and there's a moment, that storm seems insignificant, doesn't it? You forget the waiting when you get to the promise. So can I encourage you? Just as we enter in towards this Christmas season, you know, as our hearts get turned towards the baby Jesus, and he wasn't just a baby, he was a promise coming to fulfill something greater than we could ever understand. He was coming to bring the lost home. He was coming to bring redemption to broken people and lost people. He was coming to set captives free. Amen? So as we lean in towards this, let's hold on to this faith message. Let's remember to keep our eyes on him. Let's remember to hold on to the promises he's given us, amen? And let's not be swayed when things get strange. Let's not get frightened when things get unusual in our worlds. Because I promise you, God will always bring you to the other side, amen? Amen. Amen. Well, we're gonna pray, is that okay? We're gonna bring this to the end, and I pray that today, again, this is just added on to whatever has already been said over these faith messages over the last few weeks, which has been so much, but I don't really feel God causing us to leave away from that. So we're going to keep believing in this faith series, amen. But listen, if you're here for the very first time today, or you're here and you're coming back to God, maybe you came in today, you know, this Christmas season, you thought, you know what, I just want to come back to church. We're going to pray a simple prayer. And we're going to believe that actually, just as the word says, those that believe in their heart and confess with their mouth Jesus is Lord, they shall be saved. You know, Jesus didn't die on the cross to be a religious figure. He died so that people could be set free from this world and have eternity rest in their heart. So listen, why don't you just close your eyes? But you can bow your heads or... And I just want to pray, and I want you to pray after me, church, if that's okay. So let's just say this. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for dying on a cross for me. Thank you for new life. Thank you for freedom. Thank you for healing. And thank you for your promises. Today, I believe in you. I turn away from my old way of living. And I want to make you Lord of my life. Jesus, I believe in you. Come and make home in my heart. Amen. Listen, as you just prayed that, just keep your eyes closed. Keep your heads bowed in this moment, because this is a moment where this is between you and God. And I just want to invite anyone into relationship with Jesus that maybe you've walked away, maybe you've been distant, maybe you've never known about Jesus. And you're hearing what I'm preaching about faith and teaching about faith. And maybe your heart today is saying, I need this. Just like everyone else in this room has made that decision at some point. Today is the day. There may not be another day. And this day changes everything. Because the Bible says that all things become new in this moment when you believe. The old is gone and the new is here. So if today you need to make your life right with God and you need to come before him and say, Jesus, I believe in you. On the count of three, I'm going to ask you to bravely just put your hand up in the air. And this is a sign between you and God just saying, yes, Lord, I want you. I believe in you. I want relationship with you. So on the count of three, just nice and boldly, one, two, three. Is there anyone today that you just want to make right? There's hands up here, yet there's hands, there's a few hands down here. Anyone else between you and God today, you're just desiring this relationship, you need it. There's hands at the back, there's a few hands. Come on, there's no time like this. There may not, Jesus says, we do not know tomorrow, for tomorrow will have its own worries. Today is enough. Is there anyone today that you know you need to make your peace with God? You need to come back to him. Come on, there's another hand here. I don't think God's done in this moment. Come on. Salvation belongs to God. Right now, upon each of these lives, salvation breaking out, newness of life breaking out. Come on, is there anyone else? Anyone else this morning that you're saying, yes, I actually need this. Jesus, I believe in you. Come on, there's another hand in the middle. Come on, God's not done. Come on, God's not done. There's several hands that are going up. Father, we thank you. Come on, right now, in these last closing moments, is there anyone else? Thank you, Jesus. Father, we just thank you. Thank you for every hand that's gone up as a sign of salvation coming upon their life. Father, I pray for each of these dear people that are now part of your kingdom, part of your family, part of your church. Father, I thank you that heaven right now is applauding each of their decisions. Lord, I pray upon them, your spirit, may it break out afresh upon their lives. May they receive a fresh peace upon their lives like never before. And Father, may their journey of faith begin from this moment forward. May they not look back, but keep looking forward, pressing into the things you have for them. Lord, we thank you. We give you all the glory, all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, let's give him a shout of praise. Fantastic. Yeah. Come on, let's give him a shout of praise. Heaven is declaring they've won this morning. Come on. Listen, if you made the decision and put your hand up this morning, there is a team at the back giving us a wave right now. If you go and see Pastor Jan, Pastor Nacho, they're going to give you some information. We've got some Bibles and some literature. We would love to put that in your hands. If you're new to church and you're here for the very first time, can I just say, take your welcome card to the coffee hall. We would love to give you a gift. We've got some water bottles and things like that. And remember to get your kids after... right now, make sure you go and collect your kids. And remember, next week, there's no morning service. Have a great week, church. God bless.